Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler Podcast, Episode 42.
Welcome to the Amateur Traveler Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Today on the Amateur Traveler Podcast, we go to the City of Lights, Paris, France. This episode is brought to you by Hotelbook.com, the official site of independent hotels worldwide. Hotelbook.com. Stay your way. Stay independent. I'd like to start the news section with a brief apology. For those of you who didn't get last week's episode of the Amateur Traveler Podcast on Marrakesh in Morocco, I did have a problem with the RSS feed for those of you who are using the enhanced iTunes version of the show. I edit these by hand, and I screwed it up. So I'm sorry about that. If you're seeing that episode and this episode back-to-back, they were actually released a week apart, but those of you who had the enhanced iTunes version may not have seen it. So my apologies again. I have one news story for you today, and it's an interesting one. If you're in the market for an interesting cruising experience that's different from anything else you've done, and you're looking for a yacht but you're a little shy, how about a submarine yacht? I have a link in the show notes to a 65-meter submarine, 213 feet. It's a personal luxury submarine with a 350-meter depth rating. It was designed for to be built for a particular client who did not buy it, and it's awaiting a buyer. I believe it hasn't been built yet, so you'd have to wait for it to be built. But it would constitute the single largest private undersea vehicle ever built. It has more than ample space, it says. The total interior area of the submarine is in excess of 460 square meters or 5,000 square feet. It has large acrylic viewports. There's a picture in the show notes of the artist rendering of the particular living room area of this. So if you want to explore the depths of the world's oceans in perfect comfort and safety, there's an opportunity for you. So today we talk about Paris. I was inspired to do this show for two reasons. I've been wanting to do a show on Paris for quite some time, being one of my favorite travel destinations. But I had two things happen to me last week. First, for those of you who heard the show on Marrakesh, Morocco, Rod mentioned flying to Marrakesh through Paris and that they weren't really looking forward to going to Paris. Like many Americans, they'd heard that Parisians were rude and really had heard a lot of negative stories about Paris, which always saddens me greatly when I hear people describe Paris that way. And the second one was, as I also mentioned last week, a friend had asked me what she could do in Paris, and she had 24 hours there, which is a bit of a challenge because there is a lot to do in Paris. And so that got my mind thinking about Paris, and it seemed like this was the time to do this show that I've been thinking about for some time. For those of you who've looked at the Amateur Traveler Photo Gallery, you may have noticed for some time that there has been some of my photos from Paris up on that gallery, and I'll be using some of those in this show for those of you who have the iTunes enhanced version. So Paris. Why go to Paris? Paris is a lovely city, And it would be particularly lovely to go this time of year before the summer crowds get there, still in late spring when the weather is nice. And of course, take someone you love with you because Paris is a romantic city. Paris is an old city. The Parisians, as they weren't yet called, fought against Julius Caesar, the Celts who founded the old heart of the city when he went to conquer Gaul before the birth of Christ. But the city that you see with its wide, broad avenues and its parks and such really was laid out in the late 1800s, and I'll put links in the show notes to the architect, Georges Haussmann, who in what at the time was a very controversial and very expensive move, basically remade city and destroyed much of what was the medieval city, and it replaced it with the city that it has become so popular with its various parks and avenues. And one word first before we talk anymore, and that's probably French. You've heard that when you go to Paris, from someone, I'm sure, don't speak French, they don't like it. And that has not been my experience. But I have studied French way back in high school. If I pronounce anything in French correctly during this show, my thanks to Miss Shanley, who was my French teacher in, I don't want to say the year, back in 10th and 11th grade. And what I have found is if you have a reasonable pronunciation of French and make a reasonable effort, I've had my French corrected in good-natured fashion, but I've also had where we were sitting at a French cafe, and there was a group of 10 of us, and two of us were really trying to speak French, and the other eight were speaking in English, and the waiter really only wanted to speak to those of us who were speaking in French. So it has not at all been my experience that they weren't willing to put up with what has never been my strongest foreign language. But it is useful to learn some words. One thing for those of you who haven't studied French and who are looking at the place names in Paris or anywhere else in France, one word of warning is that the French don't pronounce some of the letters in the words. And so the only four vowels that are pronounced at the end of a French word are the four vowels that are in the word careful. So C, R, F, and L are pronounced at the end of the words, and other consonants are not. So as I go through the show, I'll try and give you some indication of what I'm saying, but I'll be trying to use the French pronunciation when possible. I'll be trying to use English pronunciation when possible also, although that seems to be a problem as I'm trying to record this before breakfast. There's too much to do in Paris and in that region of France to fit in one show. So let's consider this show sort of what you would do. One day is a little too tight, so in sort of 2 to 3 days in Paris. General overview of the city in terms of picturing it in your mind and being able to get your way around. The Seine runs through the city, and the city is divided in two by the Seine with two major islands in the middle. Not major because they're large, but major because they're important. They're the oldest part of the city. So the Seine runs from east to west through Paris. The left bank, or the south bank, would be where the Latin Quarter is. That's where the universities were, where the students spoke Latin. It's also where the Roman settlement was originally in Paris. The islands, the larger of the two islands is the oldest part of the city, and that's Île de la Cité, or Island of the City, literally. And that's where you would find Notre Dame, for instance. And so most tourists will get to Île de la Cité. And then the north bank, or the right bank of the Seine, is where you would find the Champs-Élysées, and that, for those of you who don't speak French, that would be spelled Champs, Élysées, and it literally means the Elysian Fields, and it's the wide avenue, and the Champs-Élysées is only part of it, but basically there's a large avenue that goes from the Louvre Museum all the way up to the Arc de Triomphe, and then further on into the new Paris, towards another arc, called, or another arch, called Les Défenses, which is in a newer part of Paris. I'm really not going to deal with the newer part of Paris. I'm really only going to be talking about the 20 neighborhoods that comprise Paris itself, or the downtown portion of Paris and the older part of Paris. Paris is divided into 20 arrondissements, or different neighborhoods, and a typical tourist in a 2 to 3 day visit would probably only be seeing half a dozen of those different areas. So that avenue that goes from the Louvre to the Arc de Triomphe is going to be one of those main areas that we're going to be talking about. In terms of getting around, Paris is a wonderful city to walk, but it is also very easy to get around in the metro. First thing you do, obviously, though, when you get to Paris, as in any major city, please wear a money belt and don't try just putting your wallet in your front pocket or something like that. The last time we were in Paris, and we've been in Paris twice, we traveled with friends, and one of the friends we traveled with, Dave, who I've mentioned before, he's been on numerous trips with us, wasn't really that excited about seeing Paris. We were in London and Paris on that particular trip, and he was really excited about London, but we were planning on seeing Paris, so he came with us. And the first thing that happened when we got to Paris is we were in the metro and something very odd happened on the escalator where somebody acted as if they had dropped something. They bent down. We all backed up against them. And as soon as that cleared, I said to him, check your wallet, because it was all very suspicious. And he checked his wallet and it was still there. We walked about 20 feet further and he discovered that there was no cash in his other pocket where he'd had spare cash. So it can happen very quickly, especially in crowded areas. So please take cautions. You're in no danger in most European cities, or at least you're safer there than you are in most major cities in the U.S. But do take cautions, because there are pickpockets and they're very good. But the metro is a wonderful way to get around. It's very efficient. It's very clean. And that's generally what I would recommend. I would not recommend driving in Paris. Two experiences driving in Paris. The first one was when we drove into Paris, and I think I mentioned this on the show on driving internationally. My wife was driving the very first time we went in. This is about almost 20 years ago. And she got into Paris, and the lines on the road separating the lanes disappeared. There were no lines, and there didn't seem to be a clear number of lanes. And we later on that trip met someone who lived in Paris, Jean-Francois, and we said, how do you know how many lanes to form? And he said, two or three, however many it takes. They seem to have a fairly laissez-faire, if we can use the French here, approach towards how many lanes to form in certain parts of the area. In certain parts of the city, they're well marked, but in other ones, they disappeared. Also, it can be very frustrating to both try and park, as in any major European city and a lot of U.S. cities, as well as get around. It took us one time at 11 p.m. We were trying to drive from the Louvre, basically, to the Arc de Triomphe, so we could watch the lights of the city and particularly look at the Eiffel Tower at night. And it took us about an hour. So I really just wouldn't recommend driving around Paris. We were nearly in an accident in the same tunnel near the Seine, just south of the Champs-Élysées, where Princess Diana was later killed. So just not a great place to drive in, and would recommend getting around on foot and using the subway, or the metro, as it is called in Paris, and very easy to get around. So where are you going to start in Paris? I'm actually going to recommend, as touristy as it sounds, that you start at the Eiffel Tower. It's one of the things that you're going to want to get to. If it's a wonderful tower built by Monsieur Lefebvre for the Paris Exposition, and it also provides a wonderful overview of the city. You'll get a good view from there. See how many times I can use wonderful in the same sentence, of the city, and you'll get your bearings as you look at the city. And the Eiffel Tower is on the south bank towards the Arc de Triomphe, or just near the Arc de Triomphe. And go up in the Eiffel Tower. I wouldn't plan on eating there. Everything's going to be expensive, but there's a great view from there of the city, and you'll help you get your bearings. And then, because I'm assuming you're on a limited schedule, let's talk about museums in Paris. Because if you're in Paris, I think you really have to take some time to go to some of the museums. So let's start with the most obvious, and that would be the Louvre. The Louvre is one of the best museums in the world, and it has that reputation. I'll put links to the Louvre online with all the details about it. But a couple things you should know. First of all, if you're planning your trip, don't plan to go into the Louvre on Tuesday because it's not open. Also, it's not very expensive. It's really, I think, 8.5 francs is what I'm seeing on their website right now. And free to visitors under 18 if you're under 26. It's also free on Friday nights. But it's worth what your admission charge is. I would suggest getting there early in the day. The line to get in can be long. The first thing you've got to decide when you go to the Louvre is what you're going to see, because unless you're going to spend days there, it's really quite stunningly huge in, as far as a museum goes. And so a lot of people really only go to some of the key places that are pointed out. They'll go to see Venus de Milo or the Winged Victory, and of course they'll go to see the Mona Lisa. The Mona Lisa, just to prepare you, is a relatively small painting with a large crowd in front of it. One of my favorite pictures of the Mona Lisa is just the reflection of the crowd in there. So, but take time to see some other portions of the Louvre if you have them. Go see the sculpture garden, or the sculpture hall, where you'll be almost by yourself. The crowds really won't go there. Or look at the map and make some plans. Go to the online version and plan ahead of time what you want to see. So do go to the Louvre. I think it's a wonderful museum. But don't miss some of the other museums in Paris. So on the topic of art, go down the Tuileries. So as you're looking from the Louvre towards the Arc de Triomphe, you'd go through the gardens that are the palace gardens. The Louvre used to be the Imperial Palace. And on the left, there's a smaller museum up a little ways, not a bad walk, called L'Orangerie. And L'Orangerie, the Orangery, it basically is what the name is where you'd find the water lilies by Monet. And they're just stunning paintings. And you'll walk into one of the rooms in L'Orangerie, and there might be only 3 paintings in the entire room. But these paintings are enormous. The water lilies paintings, if you're not aware of the size, are 20 to 30 feet long, roughly. So the room is wall-to-wall paintings with only 3 paintings. And just stunning paintings. The L'Orangerie is a small museum, and it won't take very long to see basically everything that's in there. Or go to Musée d'Orsay. And Musée d'Orsay would be across the river in an old train station. And it's a much smaller museum, less crowded. There's sculpture there, as well as some of the works of the Impressionists as well. But a very enjoyable museum in its own right. If you're a fan of modern art, don't forget the Pompidou Center. Or even if you're not a fan of modern art, but a fan of architecture, look at the outside of the building. It looks like a building they've built inside out. The plumbing and the air conditioning pipes is all visible from the outside. So it's a wonderfully unique design for that particular building. You've heard of Notre Dame, and I would definitely recommend going to Notre Dame and seeing its gargoyles and its rose window and looking for the hunchback. 2 things to know there. One is right out in front are public restrooms, which is a good thing to know when you're in Paris, because they're not all that easy to find, as in many European cities. Also, there is a dig of the Roman ruins, or some of the ancient part of the city, right in front of Notre Dame that many people walk right past. Beautiful, wonderful stained glass in Notre Dame, and the light there is wonderful. But while you're there, also, if you're thinking about churches or cathedrals, don't forget 2 other places are interesting if you're in Paris. One is the chapel at Sainte-Chapelle. And Sainte-Chapelle, as wonderful as the stained glass is in Notre-Dame, I think is perhaps even more beautiful. The wonderful blues of the stained glass at Sainte-Chapelle, which is fairly nearby on the Rive Gauche, on the left bank or the south bank of the river. Also, if you're in Paris and you look to the north, you will see a church that was built as a monument to the dead in the Franco-Prussian War, and that is on the hill of Montmartre, and that is Sacré-Cœur, or Sacred Heart. And that church is a relatively new church, obviously. It was built in the late 1800s. But I would recommend going there and seeing that, but also just seeing the hill upon which it's built, Montmartre, is just an interesting neighborhood. Quite often you'll find someone with a guitar singing folk songs, possibly in English, on the steps of Montmartre. And then as you go from Sacré-Cœur off to the left as you face it, you'll go to the lovely neighborhood of Montmartre, where you could find artists and sidewalk cafes and just a beautiful little neighborhood, and something I would definitely recommend seeing. You don't want to spend all your time just wandering between the Louvre and the Arc de Triomphe. But if you are wandering between there, you'll want to shop, because the Champs-Élysées, that particular region that is the western half of that avenue between the Louvre and the Arc de Triomphe, is one of the major shopping areas in Paris. And it's worth looking at, even if you're just driving the bus by, but that's where some of the shopping is. Also, if we're talking about shopping, one other interesting experience in Paris, and this might be if you had more than just a couple days, would be Le Marché des Puces, or the flea market. And the flea market is in the northern part of town, and it's a permanent place. It's not not in some parking lot some places. The name may conjure up to you from your American experience. But wonderful little curious things, antiques to shop for, clothes, very affordable things. Get your fried peanuts, candied peanuts on the street corner there from somebody who's mixing them up in a large copper pot and cooking them. Just a enjoyable way to wander around in the morning if you happen to be a shopper. Another recommendation for those of you who like shopping, and this is, you should see this whether you like shopping or not, and that is the Galeries Lafayette. I'll put up pictures of the Galeries Lafayette. I have a picture that I took there that looks like a postcard to me. There's this lovely red banner hanging down on the side, but the Galeries Lafayette is the most Rococo shopping center I have ever seen. It is gold leaf. It is skylights. And I find myself at a loss for words. You've got to see it. It's just the most amazing building to put shopping in. And that includes, you know, the great mall up in Edmonton, and that includes the oldest indoor mall in Milan in Italy. This is just the most spectacular department store I've ever seen. And actually, it's pretty good shopping there as well. And that's to the north of the Louvre and Le Galeries Lafayette. Already this podcast feels rushed. There's so much I want to tell you and not enough time. And I'm afraid that's a little bit like the trip to Paris is going to feel like. So take some time to do some strolling. Walk in the gardens in the Tuileries. Look at La Place de la Concorde, where the guillotine used to be, but with its obelisk. Take time to do a walking tour. One of the great walking tours that I did was of the Canal Saint-Martin. And it's just a lovely little tree-lined area in the north to central part of Paris, off a little to the east. And the eyewitness guidebook had a plan for a walking tour for the Canal Saint-Martin. And take time to sit in a cafe. It's a little more expensive, the cafe service in Paris versus eating at the bar, for instance, but Paris is something that should be enjoyed from a sidewalk cafe. Do some people watching. Even if your trip is real tight, it's real easy to just walk yourself silly in Paris. So take some time to sit and watch the city go by. And there's sidewalk cafes almost everywhere in some of the wonderful little neighborhoods. We enjoyed the Rue de Saint-Germain as just a typical neighborhood street, and that is south of the Seine. Take some time to people watch. Watch little kids sail boats on the large fountains in the Tuileries, or I watched kids playing roller hockey in front of Hôtel de la Cité, or the City Hall for Paris, or watch the old men play boules in the park. Just a wonderful city for enjoying. Get something to eat. Now, a couple things to know about food in Paris. One is the fixed price menu is a wonderful deal. It's often something that the restaurant is very good at, and most restaurants, I think restaurants are actually required to have them. When we were there, the fixed price menu was often 40 or 50 francs, which is no more than $10 and would be a complete meal and would be some, you know, wonderful things. If you're adventurous, try the escargot. It tastes mostly like butter and garlic. I'm told from my wife who tries it, not so much for me. Go to a bakery and get a baguette and try the fresh bread. If you're bringing children with you, I would recommend le hot dog, or the hot dog. It's better than it sounds. The way the French do a hot dog, you'll need two kids for this because it's going to be a long baguette cut, sliced down the middle with two hot dogs laid end to end, and then ketchup put on top, and then cheese put on top of that and grilled. For a quick lunch, grab a crepe or a croque monsieur or something else. And then continue on because there's more to see. Versailles is an easy day trip from the city, and if you have an extra at least half day, go down to Versailles and see what you can do if you spend half the gross national product of a country on a single palace. It's opulent, it's decadent, it's immense, it's ornate, it's over the top, but it's quite large, and the gardens in the back just seem to go on forever. They actually redirected rivers to build some of the gardens and the fountains and such there. A monument to the ego of Le Roi du Soleil, the Sun King, Louis XIV, Louis XIV. Let's talk a little about what French you'll need. At least learn, please, s'il vous plaît, thank you, merci, hello, bonjour, goodbye, au revoir, and some other useful phrases when you sit down in a cafe and you'd like a large carafe of water because you're thirsty from all your walking. Don't forget un carafe d'eau, s'il vous plaît. If you ask for a carafe, you won't get sparkling water. So if you want sparkling water, you'll have to ask for that separately, but something to be aware of. Where to stay in Paris? Jeff generally would recommend staying somewhere near the old part of the city. I know that Rick Steves recommends the Bastille or Arrondissement 11 portion of the city in their maps on the show notes for that. Also recommends Rue de Saint-Clair, which is Arrondissement 7, which is near the Eiffel Tower. We actually stayed in the Pigalle, or near the Opera, in Arrondissement 9, and the only trouble with that was when we took one route to Montmartre and we walked through the cemetery, it was quite interesting and amazing to see all the old crypts and such. When we walked the other route, we walked with young kids through the red light district, so just be a little aware of where the areas are. That's between Arrondissement 9 and 18, between the Opera and Montmartre. So if that's what you're looking for, that's there. But if that's what you're trying to avoid with young kids, just be aware of that. We stayed right near our subway station, the Opera subway station or metro station. One thing to be aware of is some of the stations, and that was one of them, aren't open at night. They're closed around 7 o'clock. Most of the stations are, but some of the smaller stations will close later on. And Paris wakes up later at night. If you go out to dinner at 7 o'clock, it can be a very quiet experience, and really it's more like 9 or 10 o'clock that a lot of the restaurants would get popular. But I have fond memories of sitting with our friend Chris, who was living in Paris at the time, and his friend Jean-François, who was from Paris, down in the Latin Quarter, drinking Merlot. For those of you who watch the movie Sideways, you may poo-pah this, but this was 20 years ago before it had gone into favor and out of favor again. And enjoying a leisurely meal because, again, as we've said in previous episodes, when you're in a restaurant in Europe, you have the table for the night, if you so desire, when you go into a restaurant. But do get out of the restaurant in time to see the lights of the city, because Paris is the city of lights. There are tours that you can take, bus tours, that will take you around the city to see various monuments, the Pont Neuf, the Eiffel Tower, the Arc de Triomphe lit up at night, l'Hôtel de la Cité, the City Hall. When we go to Paris, as in any major city, we tend to stay in the smaller hotels, not the big American-style hotels, which are much more expensive, but a small walk-up hotel. A lot of Paris is four stories tall. It's the Georgian architecture because it was rebuilt at that time in the late 1800s. And there are a lot of hotels that have no elevator. They're simply walk-ups, and therefore they're less expensive. They have been converted now. There isn't the bathroom down the hall, but our hotel in Paris had, we walked into the bathroom, and someone had turned the old closet into a bathroom. So it's a relatively small bathroom. And the shower was as wide as my shoulders. Now I'm a reasonably large fellow, 6'3", and not tiny, but it was as wide as my shoulders, and it was about at least a foot off the ground. The plumbing was underneath it, and so you stepped up into the shower, and there was the feeling that if you drop the soap, you're never going to be able to bend down there and get it. But some of these older hotels will provide you a good bargain. Certainly check out our sponsor, hotelbook.com, to find hotels that they would list also. And look at how the time has gone. I've already gone longer than I had planned to go. But there's much to see in Paris. There's much to see in France. There's other places that we've seen in France which are also wonderful, which we'll have to save for another show, like Epernay, the Champagne region, or the Rue du Vin over in the Alsace-Lorraine. I'll put other links to resources for Paris on the show notes. I'm not going to go through them in detail in the internet resources portion of this show just because of length. Torsten sent me an email talking about iAudio Guide, which just opened up a site with free audio guides. So I'll put a link up there to their audio guide for Paris. I got an email from Amy talking about Windjammer, which I've talked about in the past, the sailing cruise. And she had a question about the Legacy, which was the larger ship that we had sailed on. And do you sail or do you mostly motor? And I don't know that I mentioned that in that particular episode, but those large boats are actually sail-assisted. So you do have a large diesel engine, and she was wondering how noisy it would be. And we actually slept right next to the engine, and we're sound sleepers, but if you're a light sleeper, you'd want to get towards the front of the ship. But there's still nothing like sailing out of the harbor at sunset with those large four masts of the sails there. Heard again from Anne, who's back in Ankara, has gone to see the Church of St. Nicholas in Myra, so hopefully she'll come on the show and tell us a little more about her trip to Turkey. Got an email from Andrew, who has an interesting goal. His goal is 50 countries by the time he turns 50. And he's been to 33 countries so far, and I'll put a link on the show notes to his travelogues as he tries to get to the other 17 countries. And he's got a set of rules in terms of what counts as a visit, so you'll have to see whether that corresponds to your count also. It's similar to mine. I wouldn't count a stopover at the airport, for instance, as a visit to a country. I think he says you have to spend a night. I'm not quite a stickler for that. I've driven through Liechtenstein. I didn't spend the night there. I still count it because I did see pretty much all of the countries. So please comment on this show in the discussion boards or on the main site, amateurtraveler.com. I did get an interesting post from Len on the discussion boards. I'll put a link to that in the show notes also, who apparently really enjoyed the episode on Marrakesh because they've decided to move to Morocco. Okay, well, they actually decided to move there already, but his wife will be studying Arabic in Fez. So I'll be very interested in hearing more about that adventure. He says he's going to send us some audio or video or put up a blog after he's been there. Thanks for listening to this episode. Thanks for your support of the show. Thanks for all of you who've taken the time to go vote at Podcast Alley and the various other podcast sites, Podcast Pickle, Yahoo. Thank you very much to LiveWorld, again, my employer, who provides the bandwidth for the show. And thanks for listening. This episode was brought to you by HotelBook.com, which features over 170 unique and independent hotels in Paris and over 5,000 worldwide and in more than 140 countries. Whether it's a resort, a cabana, or a castle, HotelBook.com invites you to stay your way and stay independent. Visit HotelBook.com to see the latest destination deals in Paris with rates from €89 a night.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show, and Limelight.